opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And I take you up to 9:10 tonight. That's where Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler are bringing our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The fellas playing game number 4 out west. They got 3 against the San Diego Padres, the first of which begins tonight. After they play 3 against San Diego, it's 3 against Anaheim. So hopefully the fellas able to come back home in decent shape. We'll talk a little bit about the Nationals before we get out of here. Mitchell Parker set to get the start tonight for Davey Martinez's bunch. It is a 9:40 first pitch, and as I just mentioned, pregame coverage gets rolling at 9:10 right here on The Fan. A lot to get to as we roll throughout the next couple of hours. We'll get you a full-scale breakdown of, honestly, one of my favorite NBA finals of all time. In terms of what this series represented, in terms of the stars that were born in this series, we'll talk about it all over the next couple of hours. Our guy Albert Breer of the MMQB did a pretty deep dive, pretty extensive deep dive on the Washington Commanders and their plan for Jaden Daniels coming up in year number 2. We'll get to that as well. Coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour, our pal Law Murray, who covers the NBA for the Athletic, set to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Game 7 of the Finals, as well as the big-time news that broke yesterday while I was on the air. Kevin Durant out in Phoenix, now a member of the Houston Rockets. What does that mean for Kevin Durant's legacy moving forward? And I guess it's better put this way. If he is unable to capture that elusive second championship in his career, what does it mean for the legacy of one Kevin Durant moving forward? We'll discuss it all, but I want to start with the NBA Finals. Last night was excellent. Obviously, the unfortunate part of what happened last night, if you got the chance to watch the game or if you woke up this morning and checked the box score and looked at the highlights, you notice you didn't see a whole lot of Tyrese Halliburton. They tore an Achilles tendon. Suffered in the first quarter by Tyrese Halliburton. And the sad part about that was if you were watching, it felt like Tyrese Halliburton throughout the first 7 minutes of this game were playing with the sliders up, knocked down 3 triples, and it felt like we were on our way to a Tyrese Halliburton masterclass performance. We obviously did not get that. He has been so prolific throughout these playoffs, so awesome in terms of his late-game heroics, him willing this team to victory at times and really embodying that never-say-die attitude that Indiana has. To see him go down last night, hitting the deck in tears, you immediately knew what it was. He was dealing with a grade 3 calf strain going into this one. And Tyrese Halliburton's Achilles tendon tear now marks the 3rd one that we've seen this NBA playoffs. We saw Damian Lillard tear his Achilles. We saw Jason Tatum in round 2. Tear his Achilles, and then in the finals, in the biggest game of the year, unfortunately, we saw Tyrese Halliburton go down. I do give credit, though, to the Indiana Pacers and that bunch for really rallying, you know, despite not having Tyrese Haliburton. They led, you know, going into the locker room, and they felt like in that first half when they were without Tyrese Haliburton, it felt like all the adrenaline, all the momentum was on their side, and they were playing as if they were playing. The best way I can describe it, I guess, is they were playing inspired basketball in honor of their teammate who they knew was down and out and wasn't going to return. That third quarter, though, if you got the chance to watch this game, that third quarter, to me, you really can't argue it. That was the difference in this basketball game. And I can't help but wonder, Rick Carlisle spoke about it post-game. Tyrese Haliburton spoke to his teammates in the locker room, and then they proceeded to go out and turn the basketball over eight times to get outscored by 16 points in that third quarter, including a 19-2 Oklahoma City run. And ever since last night, it's been on my mind. I kept saying that I would pay to be a fly on the wall in the locker room of the Indiana Pacers. What was the emotions like? What were they dealing with? Did Tyrese Haliburton speak? Did things get emotional during halftime? Because they came out flat in the second half. And I understand it's, you know, it's hard to be critical of Indiana because you're playing without your best player, but let's call a spade. They came out flat in the third quarter. They turned the basketball over a bunch. They weren't, you know, given a valiant effort, in my opinion, on the defensive end. And Oklahoma City did a really good job getting stops in the half court and then getting out and running, just, you know, as they have all season long. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to me, though, outside of Tyrese Haliburton, obviously, outside of Haliburton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was the story for me last night. I have been singing his praises all year long, all postseason long, in terms of, you know, going to bat for him, because it feels like all the older folks out there were, you know, everyone's had something negative to say about these finals. People didn't like that it was two small market teams. People didn't like that, you know, it was the MVP and SGA versus a cast of misfits in the Indiana Pacers, and that's obviously a major disservice to what Indiana's accomplished this year. But we knew the scuttlebutt. We knew the, you know, the locker room talk and the talk around the water cooler about these finals, and I continue to say it, and last night proved it once again. This was one of the best NBA finals we've had in recent memory. One big picture item that's good for the league, with Oklahoma City winning last night, seven straight years with a different NBA champion. And if you're a fan of the NBA, the way that I am, you understand that parity is the best thing for this league. It's awesome, though, because the team that won the finals last night, talking about SGA and the Thunder, they will be here for quite a long time. It feels like the first opportunity for a real dynasty in the NBA since the Golden State Warriors and their run during the early 2010s and the mid-2010s, excuse me. So shout out to SGA and the Thunder. He won finals MVP, and he put himself in rarefied air last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with his finals MVP performance last night, became just the fourth player in the history of the league to win the scoring title, win the regular season MVP, and then winning the NBA Finals as well as the NBA Finals MVP. He joins Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, and the Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. Here is SGA postgame with Lisa Salters in front of the fans, embracing the moment.
A lot of hard work, a lot of hours in the gym. This isn't just a win for me. This is a win for my family. This is a win for my friends. This is a win for everybody that was in my corner growing up. This is a win for the fans. The best fans in the world. Love you guys.
Not so long ago, Shai, this was a 22-win team. So what does it mean to you now to be standing here as a champion?
Yeah, it means everything. It's why you play the sport. You play the sport to win. You play every sport to win. We have a team full of competitors. You know, we did what it took this year to be champions, and we deserve this. We rose to the moment, and here we are.
And now you and Jalen Williams will forever be linked as one of the most prolific duos in NBA Finals history. What has meant most? What has meant the most to you about being able to have this ride with your co-star, J-Dub?
Yeah, Jalen Williams is a once-in-a-lifetime player. Like, Will... One second, sorry. without him, without his performances, without his big-time moments, without his big-time shot making, defending, everything he brings to this team, we don't win this championship. This is just as much my MVP as it is his, and we'll share this one for a very long time. Like you said, we're sketching the book forever. But Dub's a winner, for sure. He's a winner.
Yes, he is. And, you know, from here on out, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams, that duo, forever going to be in rarefied air. They threw up a graphic during the finals MVP ceremony last night that really knocked my socks off. Jalen Williams and SGA, the second most points by a duo in the finals since the ABA-NBA merger in 1976, only behind LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, who ironically enough are atop of this list, the third most points by a duo since the ABA-NBA merger was Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen during the 1993 finals. So if anyone is trying to genuinely question, you know, whether or not Oklahoma City is an all-time great team or whether or not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is having an all-time scoring run, I think some of the numbers kind of back it up. I will say this about OKC as a overall all-time great team. 68 wins during the regular season, I believe, is the fifth most all-time. Best point differential in the history of the NBA. But when I take the numbers aside, and I'm just looking at it from the eye test perspective, when I stack them up against the Golden State Warriors of the mid-2010s, when I stack them up against LeBron James and the bunch that they were able to compile in Miami, I don't think it stacks up to that group. I look at the Spurs of the early 2000s. I don't think they stack up to that group. But I will say this, in terms of defense, I think it's one of the best defensive teams we've ever seen. And I think just their story, you know, all in all makes me feel good as a basketball fan because they did it in a different way, right? They did it in a different way in terms of the team building strategy. And, you know, Sam Presti deserves all the credit in the world, I think, for the patience that he's shown throughout this thing, drafting Jalen Williams at 12 overall out of University of Santa Clara at the time. Remember what the conversation was. It was a reach. It was a reach. Was Jalen Williams worth that pick? As you saw in the NBA Finals, man, he was more than worth it. Speaking of Jalen Williams, another young man that I continue to be impressed with, he spoke with our own Scott Van Pelt post-game about what the moment meant to him.
What has been most satisfying that you gave this team along the way, that when you look back on it, when you're old and washed like me, you're like, you know, I did that. Is there one thing that you'll take great satisfaction in from this run?
Nothing's more precious than time, I think. And I think when...
That's so true, man.
Just giving the team my time and them giving me theirs. We've had team dinners after we've lost. We've had plane don't take off till 4 a.m. and we sit on the runway. Like, all those, like, cool times where we were present with each other and, like, had fun, played Blu-ray on the plane, Uno, listen to music together. Like, all that stuff, I'm happy that I did that with this team. I think that's why we were so good. Like, all the off-the-court stuff is stuff that I'll remember. And when it comes to, like, time, it's like, yeah, just spending extra hours with each other. Like, me and Chet used to, like, go in the hotel and, like, watch film on, like, our pick and rolls when he was coming back. Like, that's the stuff I remember from this run more than, like, I can't even remember what happened in our last series. So it's like, those are always moments that stick out to me.
Well, you shared your time with me throughout this, and for that I'm grateful. I enjoyed a chance to get to know you a little bit, and I look forward to doing it again somewhere down the road.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
How can you not root for this group? Jalen Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, just two stand-up individuals, and based off of the way they performed in these finals and during this regular season and playoffs, man, the Oklahoma City Thunder here to stay. It feels like it was chapter one of a dynasty book for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I would have to think, I haven't looked at the Vegas odds yet, but I would have to think when you consider that every member of this roster that's under contract will return next year, you'd have to think that they are the betting favorites to repeat as NBA Finals champions going into next year. A lot more to get to here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 9:10 as we lead you into Washington Nationals baseball. When we get back, speaking of the Nats, they lost 2-3 in L.A. against the Dodgers, but yesterday we got to see a flawless inning from Shohei Ohtani on the mound, plus he drove in 5 runs. He's the best two-way player right now in all of pro sports, but there's another two-way player coming up in the National Football League by the name of Travis Hunter. Is there anything Travis Hunter can do during his rookie season to challenge Shohei Ohtani as potentially the best two-way player in all of pro sports? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Just getting rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up the 9:10 ahead of Washington Nationals baseball. That comes your way tonight at about 9:10. Pregame coverage gets rolling at that time. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Mitch Parker on the bump for Davey Martinez, the squad. You can hear all the action right here on The Fan. We'll put a bookmark in our conversation about the NBA Finals until a little bit later on in the show. Top of the 8 o'clock hour. Law Murray of The Athletic going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on Game 7 and then the big-time news that broke yesterday afternoon. Kevin Durant out of Phoenix, now a member of the Houston Rockets. How confident are you that they'll be able to win a title during Kevin Durant's tenure in Houston? We'll talk about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, teased it going to break. Nats were in action yesterday. They lost 2 out of 3 against the L.A. Dodgers. And, you know, hopefully they can come back home early next week, or I believe it's this, or yeah, early next week with, you know, a better taste in their mouth. It was obviously an 11-game losing streak before they hit the road and went out west. James Wood snapping that 11-game losing streak with a walk-off homer, the first of his career. But this weekend, I was excited when I see the Dodgers are on the schedule, not just because it's the Dodgers, but because you get the chance to see Shohei Ohtani, who made his pitching debut this year early last week against the Padres, ironically enough. Shohei Ohtani ramping his way up. It's the first time he's pitched since 2023. And when I think about Shohei Ohtani and what he means, not just to the game of baseball, but to professional sports, you begin to understand just how important he is and why what he's accomplished in his career is super special. And it feels like he is in rarefied air, and there is not going to be anyone that can ever challenge Shohei Ohtani for what he's done to this point, man. He's widely considered to me the greatest player, the greatest two-way player in baseball history. When you think about some of the accomplishments he's had as a pitcher and a hitter, in 2021 becomes the first player in Major League Baseball history to be selected as an all-star at both positions, right, as a hitter as well as a pitcher. The milestones that he has accomplished throughout his career to this point as a pitcher and a hitter, you know, I'm not trying to hyperbolize it, like, quite frankly, is unprecedented, right? 50 home runs, hit 50 home runs in a season, stole 50 bases in a season. So what he's doing as a hitter, obviously, is spectacular.
But as a pitcher, you know, it feels like with Shohei Ohtani, there is this thought of, well, can he sustain this, right? And obviously having Tommy John surgery and missing a couple of years on the mound and he was unable to impact L.A. in that way, you begin to focus on him more as a hitter. But I think him as a pitcher is, you know, just as frightening in terms of what he is able to bring to the table and just how dominant he is. We've never seen anything like this before in Major League Baseball, right? You got to go all the way back to, like, Babe Ruth in terms of guys that have had this type of impact being a two-way player. As we move forward here throughout the rest of the season, right now he's only pitching. The plan right now for the Dodgers is for him to only pitch an inning at a time. We saw him pitch one inning yesterday against the Nats. It was a scoreless inning for Shohei, so you got to feel good about that if you're a Dodgers fan. But I'm curious to see, they're ramping him up right now. We're about a month away from Major League Baseball's trade deadline and then the All-Star break. By the time the Dodgers reach the postseason, will Shohei Ohtani be throwing five innings at a time? Are we going to get him back to what he was prior to the 2023 surgery? And if we can, then I think the Dodgers obviously got to be ecstatic, but I'm hoping for it just because I like seeing rarities in sports, and I think he is, you know, firmly established himself as a true rarity when it comes to Major League Baseball. The other thing that's ironic with Shohei Ohtani, I'm hating on Shohei Ohtani, low-key, and you should as well if you're a Nats fan. He's probably the guy that stops James Wood from winning National League MVP for years at a time. When you think about what James Wood and the start that he's off to at this point, just 22 years of age, on pace for 42 home runs, 43 home runs. Speaking of James Wood here real quick, I was going to mention this later in the show, but I saw it was tweeted out by Mark Zuckerberg of Masson. I saw our own Grant Paulson tweet it out as well. Despite James Wood having just absolutely ridiculous numbers at the plate during his first full season in the bigs, he is ninth amongst all National League outfielders when it comes to the All-Star voting. So we will see if he is able to make the All-Star game. I think this is just fan voting. So maybe when it comes to the other form of voting, he'll get in, because I think anybody around Major League Baseball will tell you, man, he is the real deal and already, in my opinion, a top four hitter already in the sport, man. So curious to see whether or not he actually punches his ticket to the All-Star game. It got me interested, though, thinking about Shohei and his two-way brilliance. It got me thinking about Travis Hunter, who signed a record-setting rookie deal over the weekend. The rookie contract that he signed on behalf of Young Money Sports. He was the first non-quarterback, not drafted first overall, to get his signing bonus entirely up front. So he signs a five-year, $46.6 million deal that's fully guaranteed. And then he got $30.5 million at signing, all guaranteed, all up front. That's never happened before. Why is he getting the preferential treatment? Because he is a legitimate two-way star, and I think he's going to have the chance next year in the National Football League to really show that he's one of a kind as well, just like Shohei Ohtani in terms of Major League Baseball. The question I have is this, at 1-800-636-1067. We know what Shohei Ohtani has accomplished as a two-way star to this point in his career. Next year will be Travis Hunter's first season at the National Football League level. He's playing corner. He's playing wide receiver. We're still awaiting details, in terms of how much offense he's going to play relative to how much defense he's going to play. But let's use our imagination here for a second. Is there anything Travis Hunter can do during his rookie season in the NFL to challenge Shohei Ohtani as one of the best two-way players in all of pro sports? We'll chew on that next. This is The Fan.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 9:10 tonight here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Nats baseball comes your way tonight, so make sure you keep it live and local into the evening time. Coming up in about an hour from now, top of the 8 o'clock hour, we will get back to the NBA Finals. Law Murray, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Game 7 of the Finals, as well as the big blockbuster trade that shook up the NBA yesterday. Kevin Durant, now a member of the Houston Rockets. So all that and more coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. What I want to talk about right now, though, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Shohei Ohtani, we got to see him yesterday. If you watched the Nationals in their series finale against the LA Dodgers, inning of work for him on the mound. No runs given up. And then he goes in and drives five runs in as a hitter. And it gets me thinking about, you know, just how amazing he is as a two-way player. Obviously made his pitching debut last Monday or a week ago from today. And, you know, if you're a Dodgers fan out there, I know there are folks that are weary about his return to the mound because you don't want it to be something that really hampers him long term, and you hope that they're, you know, taking the right steps and following the rehab protocols for him to be healthy and pitching for them full time come postseason time. But it got me thinking, like, he's clearly an anomaly. It's something that we haven't seen before when it comes to pro sports and Major League Baseball. And not that Babe Ruth doesn't count, but it was so long ago to where we haven't seen anything like this in the modern era of baseball, is how I should put it. But when you think about his greatness, I instantly think about the potential that Travis Hunter has for greatness. And he signed a record-setting rookie contract over the weekend, became the first non-quarterback, not drafted first overall, to get his signing bonus entirely up front. And I have high expectations for Travis Hunter going into next year. In terms of, like, things I'm most looking forward to during the 2025 NFL season, not too many things ahead of Travis Hunter and how he is able to, you know, impact the game as a two-way player. We haven't seen this in the National Football League where a guy is playing full-time on both sides of the football. The question that I still have is, what is going to be Jacksonville's plan? Not only what is their plan in terms of, is he playing a majority offense, is he playing a majority of defense? The other question I have for the Jags is this: how disciplined will you be to your plan? Will you be able to stick to your plan when you're in a game and you have a scenario come up where he's already exceeded his snap count on the offensive side of the football, but you get the football back last. There's 2 minutes left, and you got to go down and score a touchdown. Will you maintain the discipline that is necessary to keep him healthy and keep your plan intact? At some point, I think Travis Hunter is going to be playing as a starting wide receiver as well as a starting cornerback. I don't know how early in his career that happens, but I think it does at some point. There are folks out there that have doubts and reservations about how his body will hold up and will he have enough stamina, you know, to be able to play full-time on both sides of the football. I think it's very clear that this is just a different cat. And if you're not in my age demographic, right, if you're not a part of the youngest in charge, I don't expect you to be on Instagram all the time. I don't expect you to watch Twitch streams and things of that nature. There are three things that Travis Hunter likes to do: fish, train, and play video games. Other than that, he's not interested in anything else. So I know that come the start of the regular season, come training camp, when it's time to be ready, he will be ready. There are folks out there that are concerned about his durability and whether or not, you know, he'll have the stamina to play both sides of the football. The one thing that's different between the NFL and college football, a lot more advertisements during an NFL game, right? So it feels like the amount of rest that he gets in between plays will increase dramatically, meaning I think his impact will be better on both sides of the ball in the NFL relative to college football. I got Chris in Hyattsville tweets at me and says, I'm rooting for Travis Hunter, but I don't think this experiment will last long. Each additional snap increases his injury risk. The NFL is an extremely demanding sport, and the body needs recovery time. It will be interesting to see how they manage the snap count. I totally agree. I think their plan and how they handle it ultimately will be the determining factor in how much success he's able to have. But if it's up to Travis Hunter, and we're just looking at it from that standpoint, in terms of will he put the work in, will he be physically prepared, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he'll be physically prepared and ready to go. It's just who he is. The question is, how disciplined are the Jags going to be? And I was having a conversation with somebody earlier, and they mentioned him at the cornerback position, having to take on NFL-sized offensive linemen and having to fit NFL runs relative to college runs. Just like anything in the world, as time goes by, you improve at things, right? As time goes by, you get bigger, faster, and stronger. Same thing's happening with Travis Hunter. And like I mentioned a moment ago, there are only three things in this world that he loves, right? According to what, you know, he makes public to us: fishing, video games, and preparing for football. So now that he's getting paid to do it at the game's best level, at the game's highest level, I fully expect him to be even better than what he was during his couple of seasons in Boulder at the University of Colorado. Here's the thing about Travis Hunter and some of his detractors. I don't think it has much to do about Travis the person and Travis the football player. I think it has a lot to do, people that are sleep on him, I think it has a lot to do with their disdain for Colorado Buffalo's head coach, Deion Sanders. And you know the relationship that those two have. He actually went out and visited Prime over the weekend and fished with him. Found that out via what? Social media. So, look, Deion Sanders is a polarizing figure. There are a lot of folks out there that don't like Deion Sanders for the way he carries himself, and that's fine and dandy. Don't let that influence how you view Travis Hunter, because I don't think it's fair. He's a stand-up young man, a Dean's List student at the University of Colorado, and he just handles himself the right way. There was that photo that went viral, and the story that went viral of him during the pre-draft process where he was on a plane, I believe, to go visit the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was sitting next to a woman on the plane, and she had no clue who he was, and he was just as generous and outgoing as you could possibly be. That's who he is as a person. And when you're thinking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the position that franchise is in, you need a leader. You need a face of your franchise. I don't think anybody fits the bill better than Travis Hunter. In terms of answering the question I posed to you all at 1-800-636-1067, what does he have to do during year one to be in the same breath as a guy like Shohei Ohtani being an elite two-way player? I think on offense, let's just keep it simple here, right? He's playing corner and he's playing wide receiver. Offensively, to me, if he can register 800 yards receiving and 7 receiving touchdowns to go along with, you know, 40 tackles defensively and 3 to 4 interceptions, I think you're looking at him as a realistic two-way star. And that's something that just hasn't happened in the history of the National Football League. I'd have to look it up. But I don't know how many seasons we've seen in the NFL where guys registered 3 to 4 interceptions while catching 7 to 8 touchdown passes. Like, that's what I think he needs to do. And I don't even want to say touchdown receptions because we act like, you know, catching the ball is the only way that he can score. I expect him to be used in a multitude of different ways. He's got the best ball skills out of anybody in this class. And I expect, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars to, you know, reap the fruits of their labor, so to speak, in terms of taking the risk, trading up, drafting this kid, and making him the face of their franchise. A lot more to get to here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up the 9-10. That is where Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will get you warmed up for Nats baseball. The fellas out west playing game 4 of a 9-game West Coast road trip. Game 1 of a 3-game series against the San Diego Padres comes your way tonight. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets rolling at 9:10 right here on The Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, 3 new NBA mock drafts have dropped. Who do they have linked to the Wizards as we're 48 hours out from the NBA draft? I'll tell you next here on The Fan. one 800 636 1067 is the number right here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in. The youngest in Charles and L. Willingham will take you up the 9-10. That is where Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take over for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. Coming up in about 40 minutes, our pal Law Murray, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, going to join us. We get his thoughts on Game 7 of the NBA Finals, as well as the big trade that shocked the NBA world yesterday. Kevin Durant, now a member of the Houston Rockets. Real quick WNBA note that just came in that honestly stuns the hell out of me, and I can't believe okay, here we go. So I can't believe this. So this is via Carly Bell. Camila Cardosa of the Chicago Sky is temporarily stepping away from the team after Tuesday's game to play overseas. I can't believe that this is a real thing. If you are Kathy Engelbert in the WNBA and you are, you know, in this knock-em-out, drag-em-out brawl right now in terms of trying to improve the marketability of your game and the popularity of your sport, having players leave in the middle of the season to go play overseas shouldn't be allowed. It just shouldn't. And I know last year I made a lot of headlines by my suggestion to the WNBA. I think the worst thing that happened to them last year is this stupid Olympics break that they went on. They were out of action for over a month. And when you think about a sport that's trying to grow in popularity and a sport that's trying to keep eyeballs on them, I put myself in their shoes. If I got my own show Monday through Friday at the same time in the same time slot, and I said, after my first 2 months on the job, I decide, you know what, CK, I'm going to put in a month off. Let me request a month off. The show would never grow. The league is not going to grow if they continue to take long, extended breaks in action. I'm not sure. I got to look up who Camila Cardosa will be playing for overseas, but not a good look, especially when you consider how much the Chicago Sky has struggled this year. Her and Angel Reese have been, well, not even really her, really just Angel Reese, the butt of a lot of very unpleasant jokes. So I thought I'd bring that to you while we got a quick second. I do want to keep things on the hardwood, talking about the Washington Wizards. We're just 48 hours out from the NBA draft, and we got official word earlier this afternoon. I will be live out on the concourse at Cap One Arena for the Washington Wizards draft party, and always one of my favorite events to do because you never know who's going to stop by the desk. Hall of Famers walking around, former, you know, franchise legends, all of that. So always a good time, and definitely looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday. Right here on 106.7 The Fan, as well as our sister station, the Team 980. So make sure you keep it locked for details about that. The Wizards, though, have a massive opportunity coming up in 48 hours Wednesday night during the draft. 2 first-round picks for the Wizards, number 6 and number 18 overall. And it feels like all pre-draft season we have been in the weeds looking at what our favorite mock drafter is projecting for our team here. And so thank you, Metal Chris. I appreciate that. So the Shanghai Swordfish in China. So she's not even playing for her native team. She's playing for, a Chinese basketball organization? There's just no way that the folks in the WNBA are okay with that. They're just not. I can't believe it, honestly. But anywho, we'll get back to that a little bit later. Three new mock drafts dropped this afternoon as we're 48 hours out from the start of the NBA draft. We had The Athletic and Sam Vecine drop his first NBA mock draft. We had Kevin O'Connor of YahooSports.com drop mock draft 3.0. And then we had Jeremy Wu and Jonathan Gavoni of ESPN.com drop their latest mock draft. I want to get to what The Athletic had for the Washington Wizards. They have Ace Bailey out of Rutgers falling to number 6 in order for the Washington Wizards to be able to select him. I continue to say it. If Bailey falls to 6, first and foremost, most people view him as the consensus third best prospect in this class. So if you're able to select him at 6 overall without giving up any assets, without mortgaging any part of your future, I think you got to consider it a win if you were Will Dawkins and company. The other part is this. Even in the event that you had to trade up for Ace Bailey, I think he is that legit of a prospect that it makes sense to do it. I think he's that legit of a prospect. I think he's that big time that it makes sense for you to do it if you're in love with him. Talking about Will Dawkins, Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, and the entire brass in this Wizards front office. The bottom line is this about what needs to happen Wednesday and what needs to happen, you know, during this draft over the next, you know, 48 to 72 hours. You have to leave this draft with a star. What do I mean by that? Not a ready-made star, but someone that's got star potential, star upside. Love the selection of Alex Saar last year. Love drafting Bilal Coulibaly in year one. Love bringing in Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George the way that you did a year ago. Tristan Vukovic in round two of the draft. Love all of that. But at the end of the day, as you saw in the finals, as you've seen throughout the course of time in the NBA, you cannot reach the pinnacle. You cannot make it to the mountaintop if you do not have a legitimate star. And I was going to say a perennial all-star, but I ain't even got to come down to that. You need a difference maker in this league to be able to win and consistently make the playoffs. And I think what the finals has shown you is that there's more than one way to get your quote-unquote star, right? Indiana traded for theirs, right? They made a trade with the Sacramento Kings to acquire Tyrese Halliburton, you know, to get his co-star out in Toronto. They traded with the Raptors to acquire Pascal Siakam. So there are different ways to do it. As far as the Oklahoma City Thunder and how they acquired Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, being able to, one, understand your assets, understand the value of your assets around the league, and then make shrewd moves. Like, that's what it comes down to. But The Athletic, Sam Vecine and company, have Ace Bailey going to Washington at number 6 overall. And then they have Noah Essigneau out of France with the number 18 overall pick. And he is a name that has garnered a lot of attention and a lot of buzz during this pre-draft process. He fits the bill of what the Wizards want at that position, right? He is, at this point, if you're taking him at number 18 overall, like The Athletic is projecting, there's really no better upside swing left on the board than him. Super toolsy guy, fluid handle, really good finisher at the rim, super versatile on defense, and I think that's what matters, right? At 18 years old, standing at 6'9", 200 pounds, if you have the ability to legitimately guard 1 through 4 and be able to switch out on the perimeter in those you know, pick-and-roll situations, you become more of an asset for a basketball team. And I think if you're Will Dawkins and company, they have had a type in terms of the type of dudes that they have drafted here. Alex Saar, massive two-way upside, but a defensive-minded prospect. Bilal Coulibaly, two-way upside, but a defensive-minded prospect. Right, Keyshawn George, two-way upside, but a defensive-minded prospect. I think the same thing can be said about Noah Essigneau, and I think at 18 years old, when you think about the runway he has to get better and improve his game offensively, which I will admit, you know, is not up to snuff right now. He is behind the eight ball in raw on the offensive end of the floor, but defensively, he's going to compete like hell and continue to put the work in to get better on that end of the floor. So that's what The Athletic had for the Wizards at 6-18 overall. YahooSports.com actually shook things up here, and it stunned me to see who they mocked to the Wizards at number 6 based off of who's on the board. So Noah Essengue, they have him going 18th to the Wizards with their second first-round pick. I think that is a name that's become a sexy, popular fit right now for D.C. It's who they mocked to the Wizards at number 6 overall that had me scratching my head. So at number 4 overall, let's just go from 3. Number 3 overall, V.J. Edgecombe goes to Philadelphia in Yahoo Sports mock draft. And number 4, Con Knipple out of Duke goes 4th overall to Charlotte. And I just still can't believe that he is going to be a top 5 pick in this draft. And it's no slight to Con Knipple. It just shows what NBA scouts and talent evaluators value right now. Two-way upside with the ability to shoot the ball from the perimeter. And that's what Con Knipple has the ability to do. At number 5 overall, they've got Trey Johnson, the freshman guard out of Texas, going to the Utah Jazz. And then at number 6 overall, they have the Wizards taking Kaman Malawach, the big out of Duke, 7'1", 255 pounds, just started playing basketball at the age of 13. He's 18 years old. He just started playing basketball 5 years ago, and he's already about to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft. So if you're thinking about a guy who's put in a ton of work and is also raw, he fits the bill. I like Kaman Malawach at 6. If Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson are off the board. In this scenario, Ace Bailey's still on the board, and Washington passes on him. Now, I get it if they choose to do so. It means they love Kaman Malawach. And look, I have been touting Kaman Malawach as a good fit here in Washington for a while. When you think about what Will Dawkins and company want to accomplish, and what they tell everyone is, hey, we want to be a defensive-minded football team. What better way to ensure that you are that then pairing up Kaman Malawach and Alex Starr in your front court and creating one of the best defensive front courts in all of the NBA in terms of switchability, the ability to erase shots at the rim, shadowing quick guards on the perimeter. Like, they both have the ability to do that. And if you take him at 6th overall and pair him with Starr, I think your defense for years to come should be a hell of a lot better. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The final mock draft that we'll look at here before we take a quick time out is ESPN's mock draft. They have Ace Bailey mocked to Washington with the number 6 overall pick. And then with the number 18 overall pick, they mocked Liam McNeely out of UConn to the Washington Wizards. And when you do some more homework and take a deep dive and find out who Liam McNeely is as a prospect, I think he fits the bill for the Wizards perfectly, right? 6'7", 6'9", wingspan, the ability to lace the ball through the rim from the perimeter. Really good three-point upside. What I worry about McNeely is the athleticism. Does he have the athletic upside to garner a first-round pick? I think that is still to be determined. But we do know this, championship pedigree. I like taking guys from UConn's organization because they develop guys the proper way. And I get it. Liam McNeely was just a freshman, so he didn't spend too much time in Storrs, Connecticut. But anytime you get to play under Dan Hurley and be a part of that program, they only recruit guys out of high school that are advanced in their basketball knowledge, that have good feel, and first and foremost, you got to be able to defend. So I'm excited about it. If that is the scenario for the Wizards where they end up with Ace Bailey and Liam McNeely, I'll be okay with it. But the ideal scenario to me is Ace Bailey at number 6 overall and then trading up from 18 overall to get a guy like Derek Queen or whatever star that you like that begins to slide in the lottery. A lot more to get to. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, the Oklahoma City Thunder capping off a special 2024 season by hoisting the trophy last night, winning Game 7 of the NBA Finals. When you look at how OKC built their title team, how confident are you that the Wizards can successfully follow that blueprint in the years to come? All that and more next here on The Fan. +1 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 9:10 tonight here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Late night Nats as they continue their West Coast road trip. 9 in a row away from Nats Park out west. Game number 4 tonight. It is game 1 against the San Diego Padres. Mitchell Parker on the bump for D.C. It is a 9:40 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets rolling right here on The Fan. So a lot more to get to in about 20 minutes. Our pal Law Murray of The Athletic going to join the program as we'll re-rack our conversation on the NBA Finals, including where does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in this season that he had rank amongst the all-time great scoring seasons in the NBA. Real quick, while we got some time to do so, a former Wizard getting a nice payday out in Dallas, Daniel Gafford signing a 3-year, $60 million contract extension with the Mavericks. This via Shams Charania of ESPN, and got the chance to, you know, talk to Daniel Gafford a lot while he was here in D.C., and just a consummate professional and a stand-up dude. I am happy to see him, you know, thriving out in Dallas, and you hope that with the addition of Cooper Flagg, you know, maybe one day Daniel Gafford is hoisting the O'Brien Trophy on behalf of the Dallas Mavericks. Always good to see good guys ultimately get paid. What I want to take your calls on right now is when you look at OKC's title blueprint, how confident are you that the Wizards are able to replicate that? Because it feels like to me, at some point, Washington should be in the business of, and I think they are right now, they're in the business of trying to replicate what OKC did. It's flattering to the Thunder. It's something that, you know, Sam Presti and company should be happy about. And it's no shame if you're Will Dawkins, right? Like, this is where you come from. This is who you watch throughout the entirety of your career to put you in position to have the job as the Wizards GM. The Athletic last night did a really good job highlighting some of the key events during, you know, this championship run that really started in 07 when Sam Presti was hired as the GM of the Seattle Supersonics. And that year it was a sign-and-trade that netted it was a sign-and-trade rather that sent Rashard Lewis to the Orlando Magic for a conditional second. That was in 2007. They traded that second-round pick to Phoenix for Kurt Thomas and two first-round picks. And in 2008, OKC used one of those first-round picks to select Serge Ibaka with the number 24 overall pick. We obviously know they drafted Durant, Harden, and Westbrook in that 07, 08, 09 draft span as well. Rewind to 2016. Serge Ibaka, who was the final piece of that original OKC team, they sent him to the Magic in exchange for Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the draft rights to Domantas Sabonis, who is now an All-NBA player in Sacramento. But in 2017, this is where things get interesting. Serge Ibaka, I always call him the guy, that first domino to fall that allowed the Thunder to get back on top. They traded Serge Ibaka to the Magic for Victor Oladipo, and Oladipo was the big piece in that trade in 2017 that allowed OKC to acquire Paul George from the Indiana Pacers. And as we know, Paul George was the key piece in that trade with the Clippers that allowed the Thunder to net Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, long story short, it is not easy to wheel and deal in trying to create a championship team. And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach either when it comes to team building and trying to put your team in, you know, championship contention. I think for the Wizards moving forward, as I spoke about to start the hour, the most important thing that the Wizards need to worry about right now is acquiring a star. Can you get a guy that can come in here and create shots for himself and others? Can you get a guy that can really change the trajectory of this franchise? Because that's what I think is missing right now. Alex Starr is a great defender. Bilal Coulibaly, a great defender. Keyshawn George, the potential to be a great two-way player. But where is your certified bucket getter? Where is your guy that you could toss the ball to and say, look, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are, he can go out and score for us? I think the Wizards need that right now more than anything. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I guess I'll answer it first here. I mean, do I have the confidence that they'll be able to replicate that success? It depends on what you mean by that. Do I think they'll get to the finals? Maybe. A lot of things have to bounce your way in order for that to happen. But in terms of can they follow the blueprint, yeah, I think they can. And they're already starting to do so in terms of the type of players that they have. When you look at OKC's lineup and the different body types that they throw at you, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at point stands at 6'6". Jalen Williams as your small forward is 6'8", 6'9". Chet Holmgren, a legitimate 7-footer. He had 5 blocks last night. Isaiah Hartenstein, a legitimate 7-footer. So the Wizards are already off to a good start when it comes to acquiring, you know, legitimate positional size, right? Alex Starr, 7 feet tall. Bilal Coulibaly as a shooting guard, standing at 6'8". Right, Keyshawn George as a small forward, 6'9". Bub Carrington, a legit 6'4" at the point guard position. So, in terms of following the blueprint when it comes to body type and player type, I think they're already on their way to doing so. The key is, though, as I continue to say, can you get a difference maker? Can you get a franchise-altering talent that ultimately gets you over the hump and allows you to reach the mountaintop? Similarly to how SGA was able to do for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up in about 15 minutes, our pal Law Murray going to join us from The Athletic. We get his thoughts on the NBA Finals as well as Kevin Durant being shipped out of Phoenix to the Houston Rockets. When we come back, we'll touch on that. Kevin Durant, now a member of the Rockets. How confident am I that he'll win a title during his tenure with the Houston Rockets? We'll chew on that next as The Fan. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham taking up the 9-10. That's baseball comes your way at that time. In about 10 minutes, Law Murray of The Athletic going to join the program. We get his thoughts on Game 7 of the NBA Finals as well as the big-time news that broke yesterday. Kevin Durant, now a member of the Houston Rockets. And I want to touch on that here for a second and honestly come to the defense of one Kevin Durant, because it feels like folks are not appreciative of what Kevin Durant's accomplished at this point in his career. Folks, in my opinion, don't understand just how brilliant Kevin Durant actually is. And I think it's very clear when it comes to Kevin Durant that obviously his legacy is going to be impacted by him hopping teams the way that he has. But in reality, like, there hasn't been a more efficient scoring career really in the history of the NBA, man, in terms of what Kevin Durant's been able to accomplish. This is a guy that only in his rookie season, right, where he averaged 20.5 points per game, he hasn't averaged below 25 points per game since then. So in terms of, like, legitimate certified bucket getters, Kevin Durant's at the top of that list. Imagine if Kevin Durant had had more postseason success and if Kevin Durant had had more championships, right? I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that he is a top 10 player of all time. And I know a lot of folks out there don't want to hear that, and folks are going to slam him for leaving Oklahoma City and joining the Warriors. But let's just be real about what Kevin Durant is. He has been the best player on every team he's ever played on, including that Warriors team that had Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. Right? And I think at this point in Kevin's career, he is just in need of a winning environment. Right? There's this notion out there that Kevin Durant is not a winning basketball player. That's not the case at all. He was just in a situation where he couldn't win. Right? Poor roster construction, lack of a point guard, no defensive center. Chris, you can attest to this. You're a Suns fan. That Suns team that they put together stunk. It's not Kevin Durant's fault that they didn't reach expectations.
They started off the season a little hot for like the first 10 games or so, but yeah, then they just went straight. They just nosedived the rest of the season.
And then everybody got hurt. And I got these numbers on Kevin Durant defensively that may stun people. In terms of the lowest defensive field goal percentage in the NBA last year, Kevin Durant was second behind his new teammate, Amen Thompson, holding opponents to 41% from the field when he is the primary defender. So don't act as if Kevin Durant is some cone defensively. He's a plus defender. He's still one of the best scorers in the NBA. And I think he makes the Houston Rockets the biggest threat to the Oklahoma City Thunder out west. I firmly believe that. With the addition of Kevin Durant, when you think about what they didn't have to give up, you still got Alperen Sengun. You still got Amen Thompson. You still have Tari Eason and Jabari Smith. Credit to the Houston Rockets being able to keep their young core intact while still acquiring a player of Kevin Durant's magnitude. honestly, like I love the fit for him in Houston. And I think, like I said a moment ago, it catapults the Rockets to the top of the Western Conference. They already were there, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think Houston was the 2 seed out West this year during the regular season. So they already were an ascending team. They're already a bunch that's on everyone's radar. You add Kevin Durant to a 52-win team, and now you're cooking with gas. I think him being there in Houston with Emi Udoka and Royal Ivy, who was one of his childhood best friends, or excuse me, one of his college best friends and somebody he played with at the University of Texas, like they have created an environment for Kevin Durant that will allow him to thrive and will allow him to win, man. I don't blame KD for what happened last year in Phoenix and what's happened the past couple of years in Phoenix. Here's another stat via Synergy Basketball. Kevin Durant shot 56% in one-on-one situations this past year. It's the highest mark of the past 20 years. So if anybody's worried about whether Kevin Durant is a player that is in decline, I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's going to work perfectly in Houston. He was not the problem in Phoenix. And anybody that believes that, you're just misinformed. The question is this, though. Will Kevin Durant ultimately win a title with the Houston Rockets? I think he will. And there was reporting that went on earlier today from Shams and Brian Windhorst to ESPN saying that Kevin Durant has got 1 year left on his deal. He is going to be looking for a contract extension. Word on the street is that Kevin Durant is willing to take a sweetheart hometown deal for one of two reasons. No state tax in Houston. So you don't got to pay any sort of taxes on the money that you're making. So his money stretches a little bit different in H-Town. And then also, there's this part of it. Kevin Durant, a student of the game, understands the difficulties of team building when your team is in that second apron and paying into the luxury tax. He's trying to do everything he can to help out Houston financially so they can put the best roster around him possible. I think he does win a title during his tenure with the Houston Rockets. Does it happen next year? I'm not sure of that, but I do think it happens at some point. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep things on the hardwood. Law Murray of The Athletic joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on Game 7 of the Finals and the topic we were just discussing. Kevin Durant, now a member of the Houston Rockets. What does Law Murray have to say about it? We'll find that out next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.